Will you pray with me? God, there's something about home. There's something about the name Jesus. It's sweet. And so, God, we pray that we give off a sweet aroma unto you. May we be pleasing in your sight. Now, God, I pray that you do what you do. That is, that the words out of my mouth bless this body, that it only come from you. Edify us, teach us, guide us in every way. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Whew. Amen. I say. Throughout life, we often struggle to truly align ourselves with living an authentic life. Instead, we find ourselves living a life that is pleasing to those around us. We miss the fact that God is calling us out of darkness and into a life of transformation and newness. Though we live in a world where false realities are often showcased and advertised, we are called to strive towards perfection, which is in Christ. And even though it seems like it's impossible to live in truth amongst this reality, God says otherwise. God says, behold, I am doing a new thing in you. So, Citywell, I need you to ask yourselves thoroughly, what is that new thing? Hear these words from Genesis 32, 22 through 32. The same night he got up and took two of his wives, his two maids, and his 11 children, and crossed the ford of Jabbok. He took them and sent them across the stream, and likewise everything he had. Jacob was left alone. A man wrestled with him until daybreak. When the man saw that he did not prevail against Jacob, he struck him on the hip socket. And Jacob's hip was put out of his joint as he wrestled with him. Then he said, let me go, for the day is breaking. But Jacob said, I will not let you go unless you bless me. So he said to him, what is your name? And he said, Jacob. Then the man said, you shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel. For you have striven with God and with humans and have prevailed. Then Jacob asked him, please tell me your name. But he said, why is it that you ask of my name? And there he blessed him. So Jacob called this place Peniel, saying, for I have seen God face to face, and yet my life is preserved. He said, I've seen God face to face, and yet my life is preserved. The sun rose upon him as he passed Peniel, limping because of his hip. Therefore, to this day, the Israelites do not eat the thigh muscle that is on the hip socket, because he struck Jacob on the hip socket. This is the word of God for us, the people of God. The story of Jacob and his wrestling is one that seems as though it is all too familiar, because it is a story where we could easily find ourselves in Jacob's position, wrestling. We find ourselves in the wrestling, but it's through the wrestling where we find our healing. Our strength, our joy is restored. It is in the wrestling where we find God. In Genesis 32, you find Jacob preparing to meet his brother Esau, to make amends because of the deceit that Jacob did to his brother in Genesis 27. And if you don't remember, Jacob, in receiving his father's blessing, disguised himself as Esau. Isaac then refuses to take Jacob's blessing back from him after learning he was tricked. In the midst of preparation to meet Esau, a man meets Jacob, and they wrestled until daybreak. And it's during this wrestling, Jacob's name is changed to Israel because he has struggled with God and with humans, and he has not prevailed. In other words, Jacob would not let go until he saw transformation occurring in his life. And so I wonder how many of us are willing to hold on until the transformation is to occur. Jacob went from being called a trickster to Israel. Jacob literally became something new, an overcomer. And so we thank God for doing a new thing in Jacob as well as in us. However, before that transformation, rather before God did a new thing, Jacob had to go through something. Jacob had to wrestle. One commentator wrote that Jacob kept his ground. Though the struggle continued, the angel prevailed, not against him. That is, this discouragement did not shake his faith, nor silence his prayers. It was not in his own strength that he wrestled, nor by his own strength that he prevailed. But it was in and by the strength that derived from heaven. In other words, Jacob's wrestling was not of his own doing, but perhaps Jacob was wrestling within himself. But this was a wrestling dealing with the reality that he was battling his own self, fighting for a transformation that can only take place while being in a relationship with God. I wonder if there ever was a moment where we wrestled and where we felt like all hope was lost. You literally wanted to give up. See, well, there have been moments where as we as a church wrestled. We wrestled. Only to find that within that wrestling, there was God. Wrestling is something that is required of us followers of Christ. We all have to endure a wilderness. We all have to go through something. But I have good news. That is, weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. Wrestling may endure for a night, but transformation comes in the morning. We don't know when the night is over, so we have to continue to pray. He didn't say morning like tomorrow morning. We don't know when morning comes, but we know there is God. But first, we have to yield. There has to be a moment to which we say, okay, God, in your hands, I give you my life. I surrender all unto you. That is hard to do when you're in the wilderness. When you're in the wilderness, you're like, God, where you at? I've been here waiting for you. I'm wrestling. Where are you? But see, we're wrestling to see what is to come. Dr. Howard Thurman, former first black chaplain at Boston University, mentor Dr. Martin Luther King, he says this: there is in every person an inward sea. And in that sea, there is an island. And on that island, there's an altar. And standing guard before that altar is the angel with the flaming sword. See, nothing can get past that angel to be placed upon that altar unless it has the mark of your inner authority. Nothing passes the angel with the flaming sword to be placed upon your altar unless it be a part of your fluid area of consent. This is your crucial link with the eternal. This poem where Dr. Thurman mentions that we as children have an island. We have an altar on that island. And nothing can get past that altar, that angel. And when I say nothing, that includes God. You have to yield without your consent. What Jacob did is allow for the man in verse 25 to come upon his altar, only to be transformed. Jacob yielded. And in that yielding, Jacob found a strength like never before. He found his strength in God. I also know of another story where a man wrestled with death. He wrestled with death. Jesus is kneeling down in the Garden of Gethsemane. He's kneeling, blood coming from his own sweat. Jesus is there. He's wrestling with the idea that time is near for him to sacrifice his life. Jesus yields. In both cases, Jacob's wrestling and Jesus' wrestling, scars were made. But those scars were the battle marks of which showed how they overcame. That is, Jacob's limping in his socket, in his hip, is Jesus' holes in his hands. Proving that in the end, God gets the victory. In other words, throughout life, we are going to wrestle. Pain will come. And we will feel as though we are alone. But transformation comes when we hold on to our faith and trust in God's hand and trust that God is with us. At this very moment, God invites us to heal and work from the idea of living a life that is pleasing unto man. Work from it. That is, we are living a life that proclaims, we can't live a life that proclaims a false profession. We have to refuse to wrestle with the idea that God has called us to live in truth and love. But Citywell, we are also called to live outside the norm of what society has placed us on. What Jacob's story reveals to us is that though we live in a society that causes us to wrestle within ourselves and with those around us, we are also called as children of God to hold on to the wrestling and seek out transformation. We are called to live in truth and in love. Amen.